Check. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thanks for bringing us all together in this place as one family to worship your name and glorify you, Lord. Lord, we worship you not because of our needs. We worship you not because of who we are, O Lord. We worship you because of who you are, O Lord. All the glory belongs to you and you alone. Lord, in you we trust. Lord, as we look into the passage, Lord, you speak to us and minister to us. And help us to grow stronger in faith, to trust you more and more and more deeper. We give this morning into your mighty hands. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to look at Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. We've been looking at the study of Luke, and the chapter 8 we saw Steve Panapa preaching on, you know, Jesus going from village to village, towns to town, to preach about the good news, the kingdom of God. And we see that the 12 disciples was with him, and also the women who have helped him in the ministry with all the means they had and supported him. And then we saw last 2 weeks Lenny preaching on the parable of the soil. And the last week we saw the parable on a lamp on a stand, and Jesus' mother and brother coming to him, and Jesus saying, who are my mothers and brothers? They are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. And now we come to a place here Jesus has been emphasizing on the need for hearing with a faith that perceives. When we looked at the soil, the fourth soil, you know, the good soil, talks about those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, who receives it, retains it, and by persevering, produce a crop, a multiplies. And then we saw producing light, what it is all about. And then we saw to come into the family of God, trusting in Jesus, how important it is to obey him and living in faith. And suddenly, Luke talks about, for the next few other episodes, where about there's a miracle taking place. One is, as they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, there was a storm. And then, there was a man who was filled with legion, was possessed by it, and Jesus heals that man. And there are two other incidents, which I'm not going into. Today, I'm going to focus on Jesus calming the storm and speaking to the disciples about it. In that, the question which Jesus poses there is, where is your faith? And that is what we're going to look at today. As I was looking at this story, I was looking at, man, I never had an experience something like that on a boat. You know? A couple of times in New Zealand, last 10 years, I've been on a boat. There's a one time way Lenny and Ian, we went on a, you know, fishing trip on Lenny's sailboat. The funny thing is, I'm keeping all my fear within myself, not showing it out because I don't know how to swim. I was wondering what happens if anything goes wrong. And Lenny warned me, Alex, the place where we are placed, it's where the ferry crosses, so just be careful. But he didn't give me more information about what happens after the fifth ferry passes. He said, hey, it's coming, just be careful. I'm like, what is that? And then I realized after the ferry passes, there's such a big wave which just shakes your big sail, but no matter how big it is, if you're not finding a spot to hold on, I'll be struggling inside the water. That is nothing compared to what happens here. That's my idea of what happened in my life. But here we see Jesus gets on the boat and he said to his disciples, let's go over the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. See, Jesus says, let's go to the other side of the lake. And as they went, Jesus was so tired. You know, we see in the previous chapter, as he was preaching the gospel, everyone wants to, you know, there's so much hungry to hear God's word. But also he was healing people. There's a lot of miracle taking place and people want to keep Jesus for themselves. From early morning till late night, he's been preaching and teaching people and healing people. When you look at the fourth chapter, verse 40 and 42, he says, when they saw this, people from different villages and towns, they brought people and Jesus healed each and every one of them. And some place they want to keep him for themselves. Jesus said, no, I've come to proclaim the good news. I need to keep moving on, to go to the places, other villages, other towns to proclaim the gospel. But as the last one, as we saw, the mother and brothers coming to meet him, I was wondering, Jesus using that opportunity to teach the people around him, but the one more thing there is, Jesus was so busy, the family is coming to rescue him to have some time to eat and rest. That's how busy he was. So when he's on the boat, he's finding some time to rest. Mark says in fourth chapter, you know, he finds a cushion, he sleeps, he's just resting. Suddenly what happens there? There is a wind. A windstorm, a squall, a sudden one which is unexpected. Isn't that how it happens in our life as well? Storms comes and just takes over. We are not sure what is happening in our life. We think we are secured, everything is going well, and suddenly everything changes. We think we are secured, but we realize it's a false alarm that we are not secured. As I was reading about it, I found that the place where they are in, at 700 feet below sea level. And some mountainous ranges around where the wind that comes to the gorges in the east and sweeps, and suddenly it changes the entire situation there. 1 minute you are calm, you are peaceful, everything is secured. The next moment you are panicking. Because you see that, they're being repeating, saying that. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. Could you see the repetition there? It shows the emphasis on how scared they are. They've been listening to Jesus. They've been hearing him, traveling with them. Received, retained it, but when it comes to persevering in your faith, that's where the struggle is. And Jesus, here's an opportunity. He's teaching them about who he is, his authority over the creation. I was wondering, even Peter, Andrew, James and John, who as fishermen by trade, even they are scared. They were taken by shock and surprise. See, when you're a fisherman, you know the sea. And they've been doing that for many years in that place, the Sea of Galilee. Because we see before, Jesus, you know, took Peter on the boat and showed him what to do. And after catching that big numbers of fish, he was astonished. He was in fear. That he is in the presence of the Holy One. We know that Peter knows about all this. Even after all this, we are worried. We all think that we are strong in our faith. But only when a storm suddenly hits us, we know that we are not. That shows where there's a security. Just remember talking to Lenny when we were discussing about some of the privileges God has given in this country and some of the places where we come from, the challenges we have for our everyday life. Lenny shared a story which really touched my heart. He said the place South Africa shares the border with Mozambique, there's this lady who lost her limbs, two legs, because of a mine explosion. Some missionaries from South Africa, they take expired breads, not stale, but expired, to that border and gives it to those people who are poor in that place. This lady in a tricycle could not walk, has to push with the hand, comes 20 kilometers every day to get that bread, hoping that she'll be fed that day. That struggle. But God has blessed us in this country in a good place. But let us not take it for granted. Let's submit everything to God. If you keep taking every single thing in your life to God at first, you will not be surprised by any of the storm which comes into your life. I remember when I was young, my parents always tells me, even for small things, the first thing they'll say, go and pray about it. I said, oh, just for a bicycle you want me to pray about it? Why can't you just make a decision about it? Get good one. But later I realized how important those small things are. If you're not going to God for small things, you will not go for big things. But when you start going for even the small things to God and ask Him and pray about it, that will change your heart. Even for big things, the first thing you go, first place you should go is God and His presence. Because we don't do it, that's where we'd be taken by surprise, we'll be taken by shock. We need to teach our children about it. And God has given that responsibility to us. As we're looking at this, the disciples went and woke Jesus up. Ask for help. It's not something which Jesus wanted for them to do. He wanted them to trust Him. But at least they went to Jesus. That's the important thing. The first thing you need to do is go to Jesus because He is in your boat. You know what we do? We go to things which is our security. When you have struggles for food, we go for our bank savings. When you have problems with our work, we go to the government support. We don't have that opportunity in our country. You don't work, you don't eat. But God has blessed this country. The struggles of finances, the struggle of family problems, the struggle comes with this life, the storm. Just want to tell you, Jesus is in our boat. Go to Him. Mark says in the fourth chapter, as we look at the same story, he gives you more, a little bit more information. He says, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Jesus said, where is your faith? He asked his disciples. When Jesus got up, he did not respond to them. Why are you panicking? What is happening? He just got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. In Mark, it says, peace be still. The Greek word for being still there, be muscled, be speechless, tie your mouth. He's looking at the nature which is roaring against them and says, be muscled, be still. I love the passage from Psalms chapter 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God, that I will be exalted. In that passage in Psalms, he says, be stillers. Do not try to fight against me. Put down your weapon and surrender and submit to me. Because at the end, I will be exalted. Here, when you come to Mark, the Greek explanation for that is, be muscled up to the nature which is trying to rage against them. But you need to understand, God is the creator of this creation. When you say a word, they listen to him and they obey him. And immediately, there was stillness and there was peace. And they were astonished. But you know what happened after that? The disciples were in fear and amazement. They asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey him. They were scared, so afraid that this is going to be the end. And now they're even more scared looking at Jesus. What had just happened? Because their expectation is not that Jesus is going to get up and just going to control and speak. And the nature listens to him. And they were stunned. And they were in fear. And they were astonished. A great fear came upon them. But not the fear that they will die. The fear of reverence. And transcendent awe of standing in the presence of the Holy One. So this leads us into two important questions here for us. In the stillness after the storm, two crucial questions were posed. The first was the question Jesus asked. A question that we all need to answer about ourselves. Where is your faith? The one he asked the disciples. Where is your faith? And the second one is this. The second question was the question the disciples asked among themselves, a question that everyone needs to answer about Jesus. Who is this? Two questions. Where is your faith? The disciple asked themselves, who is this man? With all this, they were still struggling with their faith, panicking, and still worried about their life. As I was looking at it, there are three things which came to my heart as I was preparing, as I was looking at the commentary, and praying about it. There are three great truths which came out for this question, where is your faith? And I believe that will help us today. The moment we are scared, not to get worried, but to depend and trust on Jesus. The first one is this. We should trust Jesus first, because even the storms of life are under His sovereign control. We need to trust. That's what the scripture says. Jesus has control over everything. He's sovereign. We need to go back to the beginning of the passage as it says, Jesus said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. If Jesus said that he will take you to the other side of the lake, you'll also know there will be a storm on the way. Because he's a sovereign God. He knows everything. At times we think that, why this problem? Why this struggle? Why there's so much of pain? Am I under the will of God? Because you're on center of a problem doesn't mean you're not at the will of God. At times, God teaches us through these afflictions and pain for us to come closer to him and learn about his grace. We need to understand that God is sovereign and he is in control. There are times we forget that. The problem takes over and blinds our eyes and our heart to understand who our God is, how big he is. We worship him for who he is, not for who we are. Not for our needs, not for who we are. All this will change. We will change. Our needs will change. But God is unchanging. His character is unchanging. His nature is always the same, which is sovereign. He has control over everything. We don't need to worry about it. If Jesus has called you to go to the other side of the lake, he will take you to the other side of the lake. He will not leave you in the middle of the lake. In 1995, I shared about my parents before. My dad is an electrical contractor with a building, you know, he works with an engineer. We're doing well. We were in a church as an elder, but my parents felt that God is calling them for full-time ministry to leave everything and go to the rural places. The city we were living in, South India, it's one of the major metropolitan cities in India. But God is asking us to move from that place to go to a rural place. My parents were trying to plan out their own life, how it should be. But I think God knows it better. There was a friend of us who got to know us, became very close to us, became business partners, and Dad trusted them blindly. Invested in the business, took some loans out, but there was a storm suddenly. We became family members. His son got engaged to my sister. And my parents thought, you know, when they become a family, we can not to worry about what happens to our children in the city because there is a family member who could support us here, then we can go and do ministry without any problem. Things have changed. We try to take control of our life. The engagement stopped. Didn't go for a wedding. It was such a shame in our culture. Business partnership broke. We lost all the money. We sold two of our houses. We didn't have any money. So much of bank loans my dad has taken on that guy's name, which we have to pay. We don't have money. Painful time. My parents gone to a place where they thought whether we should carry living. But God's word very strongly came to them. Get up and go to the place I'm calling you to go. There was a piece of land in a rural place, thing left for us. In 1995, they went there. It's a place where it's very religious, Hinduism, lots of persecution. People haven't heard about Jesus there. Slowly, God started to work in the hearts of those people as we started sharing the gospel to those people. Looking back now in 25 years, three churches has been planted. There are more than 300 people in that churches. Many lives were saved. But don't try to do things on your own. When God says he will take you to the other side of the lake, he will take you. You don't try to plan out how it should be. You trust him even during the storm because he is sovereign and he is in control. Sometimes we try to wrestle too much, isn't it? We want our way. We want to try to do it in our way. But have you gone into the presence of God and asked, God, what should I do? Have you submitted your thoughts? Have you submitted your plans? Have you come to God first before taking it in your hands? I want to say, God is sovereign and He has control over everything. Let's surrender and trust Him. The other reason we need to trust Him is the second reason for us to trust God. Even on stormy troubles, Jesus has set the perfect example to have full confidence on the Father. Do you think Jesus, sleeping there and being alert if the storm comes, how to protect himself? See, Jesus is tired, shows the humanity of Jesus. That's a perfect example. A God who could control the wind, the raging waters, is also tired and weak and sleeping. Is fully man and fully God. He's not being alert that, okay, if it comes, let me go. And no, he was trusting himself in the Father's care. And he's setting us an example for the disciples to trust them in the hands of the Father who will care for them. And we need to ask that question to ourselves. Are we trusting God? Are we trusting our Father who cares for us? Do we have full confidence in Him? If not, we need to take a self-check, my friends. Sometimes the scriptures are pretty hard. It cuts open, isn't it? It's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it binds. And the question for us today is, are we trusting ourselves, as Jesus set an example for us, a full confidence in Father's care? There will be times of trouble, but He will take us through that when we trust Him. Third reason is, for trusting God through wind and wave is the most comforting of all. We have this trust because Jesus is with us in the boat. Jesus is with us in the boat. That should comfort us. Because we can go to Him. And He's given the Spirit of the Lord for us to be with us and help us. As a counselor, as a teacher, as an advocate, to care for us. He is in our boat. So we trust Him. And we have this question, where is our faith? Our faith is in Jesus, the one who has called us to obey Him. And then we go to this question, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Who is this man? It's completely a different category. We couldn't understand him. They are astonished, marveled, and in fear at the same time. So that, the next week, I think, I don't want to steal the thunder from Lenny, but you'll see how people respond in fear, but in rejection. But in this, you see the disciples, though they respond in fear, but a common astonishment, which is an awe of God, which is worshiping Him. As we see Jesus here, He rebukes the wind and the raging water. The word is, He's commanding them. Who can command the creation, the Creator Himself? He's creation's creator, and he's also creation's Lord. And they obey him. I was reminded of the Psalm 107, which sounds very much like what happened to the disciples in the Sea of Galilee. Let me read from verse 23 to 29, Psalm 107. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. To be reminded of the psalm and many things, what happened in the Old Testament. God is the one who commands the Red Sea to give way for those people to pass through. And in Psalms, again and again, God has control over the nature. And here we see in John 1, 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And Jesus is the creator. Through his word, everything was created. It's created for him and through him. And it listened to him. Who is this Jesus? He's the one who can command and has authority over all the creation. And where it puts us? It puts us a question. What are we going to do? Because as I was finishing, it might be a small... Sometimes we skip through the scripture, we won't pause and read. But as I was finishing this passage, I saw he commands even the winds and the water. That's what they are filled with. How? And they obey him. The question is, do we obey him? The creation obeys him. As we receive his word, as we retain it, do we persevere? You pursue by obeying him and by trusting in him, and the one who created us all, and the one who called us all, the one who gave himself upon the cross and died for our sins and showed us grace and power for us. I was reading about a testimony about Charles Wesley. Let me read this for you. It was the love of God in Christ that led Charles Wesley to write his, this famous hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. You know, heard about this hymn. You know, the background of that hymn is Charles Wesley had joined his brother John Wesley on a mission to Georgia in the colonies of America. The trip had been a disappointment in nearly every respect. Sometime, you don't see the fruit. Sometimes you don't see things happening. Sometimes you don't see things moving forward. Doesn't mean God is not in control. As the Wesleys sailed home to England in the fall of 1736, both of them disillusioned by the sufferings of ministry, they were caught in the frightening storm out on the Atlantic Ocean. When it appeared that all would be lost, Charles Wesley did not pray for deliverance there, but for the faith to trust in God in the midst of that storm and to encourage other passengers on board. Your life is at risk. You're not sure you're going to come out alive. Instead of asking God, save me, he's asking for God to give him faith to trust him in the midst of that storm. And he's not stopped. He's encouraging other passengers. We know all about Jonah, isn't it? Throw me out of this place, out of this boat. But here is this man. God, give me strength. Give me strength to trust you in the midst of the storm. The sea grew calm. The ship was saved. And many people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Wesley wrote this hymn. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still high, hide me, O my Savior, hide. Till the storm of life is past, safe into the heaven guide, receive my soul at last. Just want to encourage you, trust in Jesus. He gave himself for us. He will not let us die. If Jesus said that he's going to take you to the other side of the lake, if he promised you eternal life, he will give you. You don't need to worry about the storm in between. He will take you through. He will see you through. And he will look after you. God is not somebody who gives you a promise and fails. His words are unchanging. When he says something, he will bring it forth to pass. Let's trust in him. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Lord, we would have heard the sermon many times. I read this passage many times, O Lord. But time and again, we need a reminder, an encouragement. The Spirit of the Lord help us today and encourage us to trust you more deeper and strengthen us, O Lord. Now, there are things we could not share to other people which is deep in our hearts. There are struggles that we are going through that we feel so ashamed to share with people, but our Lord knows it all, and you know deep inside our hearts, Father. Lord, at this moment, we trust you and pour out our hearts in your presence. Help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to trust in your grace and power. That our Lord will look after us, that you are sovereign, that you are in control, that you will care for us. We give this morning into your mighty hands. Bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen.